We begin our hearing of Scripture today as we listen to John's telling of Easter Sunday in the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, following him, went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrapping lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Our gospel journey through Easter continues at the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. A disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We gather here this Easter Sunday, not inside the way we might have hoped, although I welcome those who are on the lawn. We gather in a different space than we had hoped for this Easter. And our hopes for opening to even limited numbers had been dashed by rising COVID numbers. Well, in our reading, the disciples were in a small group, in a small room, in effect practicing social distancing to keep themselves safe from the authorities and to process their grief. It was not the situation they wanted, for their hopes that had been so high on Palm Sunday had been dashed. But maybe Scripture in some ways reveals to us the kind of reunion we need rather than the kind of reunion we had hoped for and expected. Because let me suggest that Easter has never been about finding Jesus where we expect him, whether at a tomb as the disciples expected or in a sanctuary full of people as we had all hoped. But Easter has always been about when our risen Lord finds us and stages a reunion when he wants. In our second reading, the disciples are back to doing what they'd been doing before Jesus had disrupted their lives. They were fishing. The response of Jesus to the cross and the resurrection had gone from disbelief to doubt, and now apparently a determination to get back to the way their life was before Jesus. I'm sure they chatted among themselves there on the boat. Oh, it was a good campaign while it lasted, but, you know, we didn't get him elected Messiah. Yeah, but those road trips were fun. I didn't find the preaching all that fulfilling, but it was great to travel. Hey, let's go fishing today. You know, we ought to get together some other time and remember the good old days back on the road, chimed another disciple. Yeah, said one, like a reunion weekend for veterans of the Jesus campaign. And so they went off to the reassuring, anesthetizing calm of fishing. But while they were there, a stranger calls from the beach, "Hey, kids, you got anything?" They had to admit no, because apparently they weren't champions. Those who weren't champions at discipling weren't necessarily champions at fishing either. The stranger gives him some fishing advice and starts a fire on the beach. And Peter is the first to figure out that the stranger on the beach is Jesus. He's back. Jesus, true to form, had returned to the same group who had so often let him down before. Jesus is back, doing what he did for them beforehand, feeding them, inviting them to the table, breaking and giving bread, loving them, and giving them a mission. Having seen him breaking bread and preparing to share before, they say, "Oh, he's back." And there on a beach, there is a reunion. A reunion that was unsought and unexpected. It wasn't just that Jesus was raised from the dead. It's that he immediately started engaging in reunions. He came back to those who thought he was gone or who had fallen away out of fear. In fact, I think the whole Bible can be read as a book about unexpected reunion that occurs with God when we least expect it. There are Abraham and Sarah, met by God on a starry night. Jacob wrestled to the ground by the river Jabbok. Mary hailed by an angel near the tomb. Jesus popping in for a dinner invitation on the road to Emmaus. The disciples found on a beach by the Jesus they thought they had lost. Then it would come back and then disappeared on them again. All reminders that this Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Frederick Buechner has written, it is not the absence of Jesus from the empty tomb that moves us. It is his presence in our empty hearts. A time and place of reunion. And one point of the Easter story is that when it comes to the Lord, meeting, reunion is something that Jesus does, and it's usually in unexpected places and in smaller groups. Early in my ministry, I was floundering in my thinking at some points, trying to figure out, you know, whether or not people were good church members or fully Christian, whether they were just cultural or simply Easter Christmas Christians, or how little someone could believe about Jesus and still make it under the bar, and how good it was, how good did one actually have to be, how frequently to attend church, how much they gave to the church, all of that, and what did it take to be considered to remain a member of the flock? What feelings people should have or not have to qualify as a real disciple. Finally, after several years, I came just to a simple definition. A Christian is anyone who has been met by the Spirit of the risen Lord, a recipient of reunion with Jesus. The question that Easter always asks of us is not, do we believe in the doctrine of the resurrection? What the Gospels ask is not simply, do you believe, but have you encountered the risen Christ? Richard Niebuhr has defined conversion to Christianity as the moment that you wake up to the reality that a God that you might have feared as your enemy and or judge is in truth your long lost friend. It is a reunion. And this is the good news, at least for some people. Christianity is not what you think or feel about Jesus. It's what Jesus' love does to you. It's not a technique for how you can use Jesus to get extra blessings, not even if you share that Facebook post that says share and you will be blessed. But rather, it's always about Jesus' plans for using us. The risen Christ doesn't just come back to those disciples, but again enlists them with a summons. He commands them in words shared with Peter and then to others, love me, feed my lambs 3 times. He tells them that love me by loving others. Because he's worked with these guys before. He knows you need to repeat it at least 3 times for them to get it. By death and resurrection, Jesus assures his followers in all times and in all places that our limitations, that their and our sinfulness are not strong enough to prevent our reunion through the grace and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And ministers often will collect stories of people who have been minding their own business, full of personal reservations or pet peeves or doctrinal questions that bother them, only to get encountered, summoned, and dragged into a reunion with Christ for which they had not pre-registered. One such couple I knew from 25 years ago, only just retired from running an orphanage in Nicaragua, to which Jesus had called them when they thought they were simply looking to adopt one child, a kind of reunion. The resurrected Jesus not only pops into reunions with us, he also has opened the way to the great reunion that closes the Bible's narrative. In a metaphorically charged vision, we see that in the end, God will get what God wants. Through the victory of Jesus over sin and death, John in Revelation tells us all of God's separated, far-flung family shall be summoned to a great reunion. The Lord will dwell among humanity. Heaven will reunite with a new earth. Jesus the Lord, whom people tried to push out of our world on a cross, shall reign. The Lord shall gather every living creature to himself around the throne, singing to high heaven, the living reunited with the dead and the lost and the found, and everybody in the end, home, reunited. Even before then, we can know that we are not fated for separation, loneliness, exile, autonomy, isolation in a cold or dark or demystified or uncaring cosmos. We are made for meeting a person, for reunion with a person, not necessarily in any one place. And that creation's movement is towards the end, towards communion with our God. We shall be raised for that final reunion to which the risen Christ comes to us even now with an invitation. Amen.